he showers a blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessings, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessings, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessings, oh that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessings, if we but trust and obey. There shall be seasons refreshing, if we let God have His way. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we
plead. And good morning and welcome to the La Porte Church of Christ. It is May 4, 2025. We welcome you folks out there, and I wish I could say that we were coming to you live right now, but we are not. We've had some attacks, and I'll tell you about that here in just a minute. But we are going to continue to stand on the promises, and we're going to start off with that song, Standing on the Promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of Christ my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of Christ my Savior. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of Christ my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of Christ my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Amen. and we are standing on the promises. Let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for the trials and the tribulations that you put us through. And we thank you that we can stand on the promises that you've given us. And we know that greater are the forces that are for us than the forces that are against us. And we claim that truth right now. And we ask, Father, that you continue to war with those that are warring against us. We pray, Father, that you identify them, that you deal with them as you see fit. We lift them up to you and we just call upon your perfect judgment to come down upon them, Father. We pray that you deliver us, assist us, guide us, and direct us. Give us the wisdom that we need to get our websites back up and running. We pray, Father, for your tech angels, your assistance, and your guidance and your direction. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we are not coming to you live. I'm hoping to get this video posted up here shortly. And it will be, you know, if you receive our DVD church, this is the DVD church that you'll be receiving. And, last night we got cyber attacked, and it continued, throughout, the majority of the night, and, had a team that was working on it. We were working on it basically all night, trying to get everything up and running so that we could have live church this morning. And just didn't get it done. The attacks are still raging. And I think that it's one of those things is when you fire on the enemy fires back. And I know that the enemy hates a lot of the truths that we've been putting out. And it's been brought to my attention that the enemy hates the fact that we are reaching more people than we have in a long time. And, you know, we've continued to pursue different outreach methods, Spotify, Rumble, and a couple other different online platforms, and we're reaching a lot of people. We're getting a lot of feedback, and I believe that that's where these cyber attacks did end up coming from. It's very sophisticated. Way that that they did these things, I don't even understand all of it. We tried setting up a different website and rerouting everything, and it just seemed as soon as it just followed us wherever we went, wherever we tried to set up a different page, we were constantly just getting bombarded with attacks. So I don't know. We'll figure it out this week. We've got time to figure it out. Tried to get it. Up and running, and I appreciate the men that dedicated a lot of time and effort on trying to get this fixed. Todd was working hard. He was up basically all night trying to help me, trying to figure out what was going on, trying different things, and on the phone with Tier 5 support from some of our hosting providers and just a lot of different things. We tried a lot of different stuff and just didn't get it done. But I do would appreciate it if you would keep us in your prayers for these attacks. We'll get it figured out. It's just sometimes this stuff just takes a little bit of time. I got some emails this morning says, "Oh, you know, is this the end? You know, are we defeated?" And it's to me, that's a silly question. No, it isn't. We will overcome. It's a fight. Sometimes the enemy fights back, and sometimes it's when you least expect it. But we will get this figured out. It just might take us a little bit of time. And we've had cyber attacks in the past, and nothing. Some of them have been very devastating. We've had to rebuild websites before, start over from scratch, had all of our data that was that we had stolen. There's been a lot of attacks over the years, and we've always been able to, you know, to overcome and to build back, and we'll do whatever it takes to get this figured out. It just might take a little bit of time. So do appreciate your prayers. Those that that join us that can't do see this, I'll get this video posted up. I don't have a lot for you this morning, just because it was up all night working on this. But we do have a message by Brother Zach. We're going to have that, and then we'll be back for communion. So we'll go ahead and have a message by Brother Zach. Thank you.
And greetings to the once lost but now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, May 4th, 2025. We here at the LaPorte Church of Christ welcome all of you out there here this morning. We're glad that you joined us, and we are going to begin by defining who Jesus Christ is, what he is, what he stood for. And if you understand this definition, then you understand his thought process. And that is found in John chapter 1. I begin by reading in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glories of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that is the definition of who and what Jesus Christ is. He is the Word that became flesh. And with that being said, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to begin by reading in verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but every bad tree bears bad fruit. I had a few conversations over the last couple weeks where people that talked about Christianity, some of them always wanted to get into a big prayer session, and I am not hip to just getting into a prayer session with just anybody. And first of all, me personally, if you are quick to get into a prayer session with me when you know nothing about me, then I am going to hold you at a distance. But he was, this one particular individual I was talking to, he was all fired up about Easter. And I made the comment to him. I says, well, that's right around Passover. And this guy always wants to have hold hands and get into prayer circles and all that other sort of thing. And I said, can you tell me when the Passover is? Now, the question was, can you tell me when the Passover is? The response was, Jesus did away with the Passover. And basically, well, for one, he didn't even understand my question. His response was, you know, whether Jesus did or didn't is irrelevant. The question was, do you know when the Passover is? And the reason why I was asking him that, because you're a guy that always wants to get into a prayer circle and hold hands and ask for guidance. I just so happen to be the type of guy, I'm going to test your knowledge. So not only did he not answer the question, well, he's dumb. He didn't understand what the question was. The response he gave me was completely irrelevant. And that told me he was very biblically illiterate. And then in other words, in one way, he's a young cat, young guy. And I felt the kind of bad for him. I did. I mean, I'm kind of getting past feeling bad for people. Maybe it's just because I get older in years. Maybe I just kind of turn into more of a jerk. But it tells me that his preacher is not teaching him properly, not just laying out the facts. Not going to get all offensive. You know, I try to ask facts. You know, You ask about Genesis 17. Fact. Abraham's seed, God's chosen people, were to form a multitude of nations. Fact. It doesn't have an opinion behind it. It's a fact. You can't argue with the fact. You can't argue with the fact that the Passover is 14 days after the spring equinox. But what I noticed in that young man's mind was, you know, he was so sure of himself in his response, which he just looked like an idiot to me. And my business partner was there because him and I had gone rounds about this before. And he understood exactly what I was asking him. You know, the question was, is it right? Is it wrong? Is it valid? Is it not valid anymore? It's just, when is it supposed to be? And the response was just so out in left field. And he thought he answered it. Why is that? It is because of false prophets. It is these prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, and they're actually wolves. And what are they? They are ravenous. What are you when you're ravenous? Or something's ravenous. They are starving. They want to eat. Sheep is a good prey animal for wolves. This is New Testament stuff. And as it says in Hosea, that these false prophets feed on God's people's sin. Fact. And these wolves dressed in sheep's clothing are ravenous, and their appetite requires God's people sinning. It pays well, it pays the bills, and it keeps them fat. So if they keep God's people sinning, God's people out of the know, God's people headspace clouded with a bunch of garbage that can't even answer a simple question, that means their ravenous will be satisfied by feed. Feeding on the sheep. And you know them by their fruits. If you're a sheep getting eaten by one of these wolves, you're completely oblivious to what kind of fruit that wolf should be producing if he's claiming to be a man of God. You're oblivious to it. This is why I define who and what Jesus Christ is. Every single time I'm with you, he is the Word that became flesh. He is the covenant, the law, the prophet. And his duty when he was here was to die, be buried, and raised again. Pay for the sins of the bride. That is what he was doing. Eliminate that debt. That debt that was keeping his people into bondage. Now, most of you out there that have been with me, or been with this ministry, not me, I should say, know that, you know, when I make a statement like that, you know what I mean. I don't have the scriptures prepared for it. But there are many false prophets out there that are ravenous wolves. Some of them believe, some of them aren't. They're just deceived, you know, admittedly. But the creator of the theology that is pumped out there through Judeo-Christianity is 100% designed by the devil and his children. So, those people that are being eaten, those sheep that are being eaten, and non-Israelites get up in the mix too, and they suffer too because of the bad theology, because God has a plan and an avenue for them to be in. to join the assembly, it ruins their life as well. It ruins the future for their families, generations, for generations to come too. They're going to eat them too. And if you keep God's people in false belief, you can do whatever you want with them. I was talking with a guy today, and he was saying, if you believe it, it'll come true. He's a rapture theology guy. And I said, yeah, I know the church is, you know, the New Testament says that the church is going to be caught up in the air. And this, I know. I know. I mean, me personally, I know I can only do what I do, and I know I can only control my actions. I can't control your actions. I can't control this gentleman's actions. And, you know, I was trying to tell him the catalyst that's going to get the hand of God to move, because he's a very well-versed Bible guy, is repentance. And I asked him, what is a new definite? Now, this guy's been going to church. I've known him for a very long time, for 40-some years. He's very well-versed in the Bible. And I said, give me a biblical New Testament definition of what sin is. And I stumped him right there. You know, that's what Jesus came to pay for. Give me a New Testament definition of it. Come on. You want to sit there and talk like you know everything and you're all about rapture? Come on. Let's do this. Let's lock some horns. He couldn't do it. There's a biblical definition, and you all out there know that it's 1 John chapter 3, something. I forget what verse it is. But I've read it to you before. And I began to say to him, I go, these false teachers, these prophets, these people that don't study their word and understand what sin is and understand that Passover, like, I didn't even know who Pastor Peters was. I started studying the word of God. I understood that the Passover was an everlasting covenant. Do you want to know why? Because I read the Bible and it said it was everlasting. So, and then I knew that my preachers was either ignorant, full of crap. I mean, at that point, I just didn't think somebody was that. I didn't think there's that evil of people supposed to be Christians. But if the Bible says the Passover is an everlasting covenant, despite what I say, what all the preachers say, what you think Jesus did, and you don't have the biblical back, the biblical knowledge to back up your thought process, then that means the Passover is everlasting. Period. And if you know your Bible, and you know how it works, and you understand who is who, because they got a false chosen people, then you should be able to pick out a ravenous wolf quite easily. You have to identify what fruit needs to be present. If you don't understand what fruits to be present, you could be told, you know, a water chestnut is the fruit that you're looking for, that you need to have, that you need to listen to. When in reality, it might be a cranberry. You have to identify the fruit that you need. Now, that's just my own little personal spin on it. But there are evil people out there. These two individuals I was talking to you about, the thought that there is an aggressive preacher out there that actually wants you to be blinded is foreign to them. It says it right there. These guys are wolves in sheep's clothing, and they're ravenous, and they're not good people. Their motives are not Christian or godly. You got your Bible, stay in the same book and turn to chapter 27. Let me begin by reading in verse 57. Now, this is after Jesus was crucified and he was prepped for burial and he's getting ready to be buried. And it was when it was evening, there came a rich man named Arimathea, named Joseph, from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his own tomb, which he had honed out of in the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite of the grave. And on the next day, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember when he was still alive, that deceiver." So they're accusing Jesus of being the deceiver. They said, "That deceiver." I should put my finger there. Now I got to refocus, see where I was at. "That deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I am to rise again. Therefore, give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come, steal him away, and say to the people, he has risen from the dead, and the last deception will be worse than the first.'" So they're over there, they're realizing, well, this actually goes down, and he does rise, it's going to be even worse. And they're going to say, well, if they stole him, you know, they're going to create a false movement. But here's the thing. So, these Pharisees were extremely fluent in the scriptures of old. The definition of who he is. Right? That's what they were known for. I had one gentleman telling me that there was Pharisees that had the entire Old Testament memorized by heart. Well, then they have no excuse. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Psalm chapter 16. Begin by reading verse 7. "I will bless the Lord." Now, in this context, God is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand. Well, who's at his right hand? Jesus Christ. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. This is Jesus. This is kind of like Jesus talking. My flesh will also dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul in Shiloh, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. What is he talking about? He's talking about being dead and being in the grave and not decaying. That means he's not dead, according to Psalms chapter 16 right here. You think those cats didn't know that scripture? This wannabe tree guy, wannabe preacher, can pull this out and come up with prophecy that talks about a man being dead but not dead and not decaying and being at the right hand should give you some type of idea that some type of resurrection is going to take place by the Messiah. She'd have a hint. But what was the position that the Pharisees took? That deceiver said that's what he was going to do. Maybe if they had a little bit of humility and weren't worried about their own pocketbooks, maybe they would, well, I guess that's kind of the final sign that we need, because, you know, we've talked about it before. People, they're always asking Jesus for signs and wonders. I mean, that's a pretty good sign and wonder. That's a pretty good prophecy being fulfilled. Maybe they should have got a bucket of popcorn and just waited to see, just to be sure. But that wasn't their position. We need guards there to make sure that this doesn't go down. And I'll play the devil's advocate. They could even they might think that the disciples would do that in order to create a movement and a revolution. There is a little bit of validity in that train of thought. So we'll give them a pass right now. But as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. Turn back with me to Matthew. Chapter 28. Let's go to verse 1 and read. Now after the Sabbath, it began, as it began to draw toward first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave, and behold, a severe earthquake had occurred. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came, and it rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like light, was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And the guards shook with fear of him and became like dead men. So there's the guards that were placed there because of the, we weren't going to let any deception go down. Their response was like, uh-oh. And the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. So it says they were like dead men. Let me back up. They were like dead men, but they weren't. They were like them. That means they couldn't move. I wonder if they could still hear. You know, kind of like a paralyzed guy. His brain's still functioning. His ear still hears, but he can't talk. He understands what's going on around him. I don't know if any of you have seen anybody like that before. I personally have, but I have. So I know like this state of a person can exist. I kind of think that that's what was going on with these guys. Like they were like dead men. But they were fully, I think, this is my opinion, that they were fully aware of what was going on, but they just couldn't move. That's my opinion. Verse 6, he is not here, for he has risen, just as he said, and he fulfilled the prophecy that we talked about in back there in Psalms chapter 16. Verse 7, wait, he is not here, for he is risen, just as he has said, come see the place where he was laying. Go quickly, tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave Galilee, and there they will see me. Now while they were away, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. So the guard, they didn't go to Pilate. They went to the chief priests. They went to the holy men. That's what they did. They went to the holy men, the preachers, because this is kind of preacher spiritual stuff going on here. This is your business. This is your department. We're going to tell you, boss. And when they assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers. Let's stop right there. So, the report was the fulfilling of Psalm 16. Those guys knew it. So now, all of a sudden, to make sure no one's going to be deceived, let's see what they do. So far, in verse 12, they've gathered a large sum of money, and they have given it to the soldiers. Why would they do that? Let us read and find out. And they said, "You are to say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep." So now you have to practice a basic level of witchcraft, which is lie. Lying in a way that is not, doesn't have a positive effect. You're going to try to cover up. I should back up a little bit. Sometimes it's good to lie. Like Moses, the midwives lied and said Israelite women popped kids out so fast they couldn't keep up. And there's just nothing they can do about it. They couldn't throw them babies in the river. You know, they weren't going to tell Pharaoh the truth. There's a time to lie. But this right here, not the time to lie. Because you're trying to cover up the new deal that God's setting up with Israel. You think those guys don't know the story that you and I know? This is it, taking place right before their eyes. We need to cover this up. These are wolves in sheep's clothing. These are people that feed off of our sin. So they're instructed, you tell the officials that the disciples came and stole them just as we predicted. So who's the ones of guilty of covering up and creating a deception? They ended up being the one. They seen the prophecy fulfilled right, couple days after they suspected there might be some shenanigans going on, and now they're the ones doing all the deceiving and pulling the wool over. Verse 16, "And if this shall come into the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble." So what were they doing? They were going to sweet talk the governor's ears. They were going to get the soldiers out of it. That's what they were going to do. So you tell them that you fell asleep, which they weren't. Even to this day, if you're a soldier and you're on guard duty and you fall asleep on your watch, like, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. You are getting thrown in the hurt locker. You are going to have some pain in your future because you fell asleep on watch. You do not fall asleep on watch, no matter what. Because if you do, then you can be snuck up on. Things can happen. You can't give the right testimony. And now, this just stinks all over. And this is what the chief priests are doing of that time. When they know the scriptures better than anybody, and they're watching it unfold before their eyes. Why? Because they are not Israelites. They are sons of the devil. And they are those that profit from the sin of God's people. They have everything to lose. And you might be thinking, well, you're kind of being a little bit harsh. That kind of stuff doesn't go on today. Oh, really? What about baptism? They tell people to accept Jesus and give him their heart. When Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Now, I know guys like me aren't doing as good as guys like Joel Osteen. Guys like Joel Osteen that tell people to give Jesus their heart and tithe and say that the Jews are God's chosen people, which I got scripture that says the Jews are not in the Old Testament. They make good pay. See, here's the thing. Most people don't really like the truth. They just don't. They don't like the truth. Women especially don't like the truth. I mean, they'd rather be lied to. God's bride doesn't really like the truth. You tell them the truth that Jesus was sent only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So harsh. When actually it's the most beautiful love story never told. So what were these guys doing? They're using their money and their political leverage to sway the opinion of the officials. And it's going on today. Because if God's people are out of the will of God, not being baptized, not upholding his law, then it gives a bunch of lefty, liberal, tranny politicians all the power. As it says, my people die for a lack of knowledge. God has to give them the power because of the sin. You don't think that your preachers and your big cheese preachers aren't in bed with these politicians. I've heard a couple of messages I've done before about 501c3. You might be thinking I'm like double-minded on it, but I know they're full of crap. Doesn't mean I can't play their game and try to beat the pants off them and tell the truth. That's all demonstrated you could do that. Verse 15, and they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And this story is widely spread among the Jews and is to this day. The story. The story spread across by the Jews to this day. Now, I don't really rub elbows with Jews. I don't even know. I mean, I think I know a couple of them, but I don't really get into it with them because, personally, what's the point? But beware of false prophets. Beware of wolves that are dressed as sheep. And with that, I am out of time. For those of you that are his, may he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you peace. Out.
Thank you, Brother Zach. Appreciate that. And as we prepare for communion, let us go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we are thankful and grateful for this opportunity to come before your throne. Lord, as we partake of communion today, we just ask that you look down upon us, that you make a change in us as we partake of the body and your blood. We ask, Father, that you make that change in us, that you forgive us of our sins, that you help us to be holy, that you help us to be different. As we partake of it today, Father, we come before you and we put on the mind of Christ. We just ask that you help us to have more discernment, more wisdom, more knowledge, more understanding. We pray, Father, that as we partake of this today, that you heal our bodies of our infirmities that we might not even know about. Lord, we come and just, we claim all the benefits that you give us through this. And we thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. You may partake. Thank you. And we are continuing on with Mr. Hoskins. And today we are going to have Wolf and Sheep Part 2 coming up.